Today is Sunday, 30th May 2021. We will be continuing from this book, The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. We are actually at page 47, page 47, 3.4 subsection. There is a question for by Sister Ingby. Okay, question for by Sister Ingby. So this is a continuation from our sharing of the Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha, the transcript book. Okay, section 3.4, question 4 by Sister Ingby. Beatitude, the first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind is our physical form, and the four aggregates of mind means as a human being here. My initial understanding is like whatever happened in the present moment, this first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, we can be aware. Whereas the second aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind is more on perception and memory, all in the mental state. It is the mental five aggregates of form and mind. Then I actually shared something. I told her, do you understand why? I've explained this before, because the mind has four aggregates. Mind is capable of feeling. There's an aggregate of feeling called Vedana in Pali. Then there's an aggregate of perception. The mind is capable of perceiving. That's why the Pali word is Sanya. Then there is a quality of this mind, the mundane mind, that can create sankhara activity. Sankhara is mental states, mental activity, mental volition, and everything that the mind can do, that is sankhara. And finally, the mind can become conscious, that is vijnana, the Pali equivalent. So the four aggregates of mind, they are classified as Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana, and they are all mental in nature. Then the other aspect that I used to share with you all is, I want you all to find out, how does the external form enters the mind? So the external form enters the mind through one of the aggregates of mind. So I say through what? Then Sister Ingby answered correctly, through perception or sanya, which is memory. Then I say yes, perception and memory is correct, because memory recalls. Otherwise you cannot perceive. Without memory, the thought cannot come out. That's why thought is respond to memory. So this is a very important understanding. You don't have any experience or memory of anything that you perceive, then you cannot create the thought, which is the word, the concept, or you cannot input the content of consciousness. If you see something that you have not seen before, and you do not know how to label it, it means no word, no labeling, then nothing come out. Then you can just use some other words to describe it, but you don't have a memory of it. That's why that thought cannot come out. But if you have learned it before, you will know how to label it. That's why thought is from memory. Without memory, without views, opinion, and conditioning, you do not know how to label, because it is something very new. It's like the unknown. Then you are first time observing it or perceiving it. It's like you are learning something that you have not learned before. Then after you have learned it, it becomes memory. It becomes a concept. then words appear, then you can label it. That's how the thought comes about. So for the five mental aggregates of form and mind, it is the same. In the mental, there are four aggregates of mind, which is Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, and Vijnana. Then how does the fifth aggregate of form, the mental form, enters the mind? Yes, we are the aggregates of perception. That's why thus far, I have yet to see any book that writes about this. Nobody can really relate it this way. So the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind is seldom understood or taught. They just mention the five aggregate, Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, but without clear understanding of what these five aggregates are and what the Buddha meant when he teach them under the Paticca Samuppada. These five mental aggregates of form and mind are what the Buddha meant in the dependent origination teaching or Paticca Samuppada teaching. But most book, 90% translate it as over the three period of time. Means the 12-link Paticca Samuppada is evolving the three period of time. I respect them for what they are. That's their view. But based on my understanding, it cannot be this way. If it's this way, then there is no reason or no meaning to the teaching. Why must the Buddha teach dependent origination that happened only once over three lifetimes? There is no meaning at all, because it doesn't help me to develop the cultivation. Maybe as a scientific fact, it's worthwhile knowledge, but it is not practical. And the reason why they interpret it this way is, as I have explained before, it's because they cannot explain dependent origination otherwise. This is the only understanding they have from the commentaries. But what the Buddha taught is the Dhamma occurring over every moment and every instant of sense door consciousness. If you understand his teaching, you will know how it happened. The problem is further aggravated when what is avijja also people cannot understand. What is right view is also not clearly understood. So it's very difficult to penetrate this teaching of Paticca Samuppada or dependent origination. Then you cannot see your mind. And the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, there is no way you can explain the dependent origination within every moment of conscious experience or consciousness. Excuse me. That is the reason why when I did the meditation, when I silenced my mind, I realized that all these external forms are mental rupa, means mental form. Because within the senses, upon contact, there are sense data simultaneously captured with every moment of sense experience. They enter the mind through our perception aggregate. And when they enter the mind, the five aggregate of form and mind becomes like real. This is why avijja paccaya sankhara, the first tooling of the dependent origination state, that states that dependent on ignorance, you arise a sankhara, which is mental activity or mental thinking. It means wanting to know, to understand and experience, you start to think. Hence, dependent on ignorance, thinking will arise, because to you, this is the only instrument you have, your thought process. If I don't think, I cannot understand. So even in school is the same. Teacher in school teach the same. If you don't understand, they will tell you to go back and think about it. Then come back and discuss. So thinking is your only instrument almost 99.9% of the time or throughout the day. You use thought. You think along. You are heedless. Avidya Paccaya Sankhara. Sankhara is mental activity, which is thinking. Meaning you make contact with the mind. The mind is also an organ, one of the six sense organs. So when you make contact with the mind organ, like the physics experiment, the light bulb lights up and you become conscious of thinking or your thought process. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara and sankhara are thinking. This means you make contact with the brain. When you make contact, mental consciousness arises, hence avijja paccaya sankhara. Then sankhara paccaya vijnana. This is followed by the next link, vijnana. Vijnana paccaya namarupa or namarupa. That is how the five aggregates of form and mind, namarupa, arise. The mental aspect arises. It only becomes namarupa when you input your content of consciousness. Means at the third link, when sankhara paccaya vijnana dependent on that mental thinking or contact with the brain or the memory, it triggers off the thought consciousness. That is the pure consciousness. Take for example the organ of seeing, the eye consciousness. So at that moment is the pure consciousness. Like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see as yet. But the moment that seeing consciousness arrives, we associate with the seeing through our sakkayadity, through our self-delusion, by inputting the content of consciousness, because through our perception, we perceive it through our memory. Our views, our opinion, our conditioning and habitual tendency. That's how we put in that content. Then it becomes a thought. Initially, it's just a pure seeing consciousness. In the seeing, it's just a seeing consciousness. Nobody there, no egoic mind, no content of consciousness. It's the pure seeing. But because of ignorance, sakkayadity, self-delusion, the egoic mind take over, the content of consciousness went in. That's how the five aggregates of form and mind, vijnanam paccaya namarupa or namarupa, comes in. So this is how the second aspect of the five aggregate comes to be. And then it becomes the namarupa, the thought, which is consciousness and its content. So before the content went in, it's vijnana. After the content went in, it becomes namarupa or namarupa. This is so clear and so easy because I saw it in the meditation. But they cannot explain it this way. And do you know why? They have to change the second link to karmic volition. One of the English translation of sankhara is karmic volition. Volition is mental intention. So they say before you die, because of ignorance, when you die, your last thought, there is ignorance. There is karmic volition or activity that condition your last thought moment. So the vijnanam, they translate it as the last thought moment, which is the death consciousness. So this last thought moment or death consciousness or coming volition will condition rebirth consciousness. To them, the third link, Vijnana, becomes rebirth consciousness. So when there is rebirth consciousness, the five aggregates of form and mind, which is the first aspect of the human being, comes into being. That's the only explanation they can understand. That's how they explain the third link of Vijnana, Paccaya Nama Rupa. So this is how the three period of time come about. That's how the five aggregates of form and mind comes into being. Because of that, the sense bases fall into place. Then it makes contact, then contact condition feeling, feeling condition craving, craving condition grasping, grasping condition becoming, then birth. With birth, they say, you die, and then you take rebirth again. Do you know what birth is at that link? That is why they cannot understand all this link. So this way of explanation is more logical or convincing to normal people. Well, most people can accept this logic. The first aspect of the five aggregates of form and mind, nama rupa. Everybody can accept this explanation because it's logical. It's a human being born into this world. That's why karmic volition was introduced. This is the reason why this type of explanation by the commentary is very popular all this while. But when I meditate, I realize that the actual paticca samuppada is not like that. Every moment, every instant, it arises. Then sometimes it does not follow the whole dwelling. It does not complete the whole dwelling. Sometimes upon contact, it's not only feeling, but the whole of consciousness and its content straight away come up. And I realize the seven universal and everything else is also inside there. They simultaneously arise. And dependent origination is multidimensional. It is not a one-dimensional thing. Sometimes the dependent origination's twirling didn't finish. Then you move on to the next sense organ because mind operates very fast. The thinking and mental activity, they are so fast. The actual dependent origination that you see within with the silent mind is totally different from what the book interprets. Without that realization, you cannot understand the true Buddha's teaching. That's the reason why I wrote in the blue book of Paticca Samuppada, which was based on a talk that I delivered 10 over years ago. By now it should be about, I think, 16 or 17 years ago. In the form of a transcript, Paticca Samuppada, I wrote, is a very profound teaching, okay, according to the Buddha, where he said to Venerable Ananda, so profound, in fact, that most cultivators are not able to truly develop the penetrative understanding of it. That book is very clear and very beautiful. So you can, you should go to the website and read through that book, Paticca Samuppada. 10 years ago, that time, that book I wrote, the transcript book was 2015, so you had to add 6 years. Eh? So now it's about 16 years ago. I already shared this, but hardly anybody can understand what I shared at that time. That's the reason why I told them, whoever who can understand 10% of what I share at that time, he is already an exceptionally good cultivator. So at that time when I came out to share, my understanding was ahead of time, ahead of what the Buddhist community could really comprehend and understand. So that was the reason for it. The whole of the teaching, you need to have the realization to really understand. Otherwise, it's still like the blind leading the blind. Yeah, it's still Dhamma knowledge, not based on realization. Meditative, penetrative realization. Do you know how the present day teaching come about? Most of them, they are scholars, scholar monks and scholar cultivators. They take exam and have degree. Of course, not all of them are theoretical. And there are some who cultivate and have become very good too. The problem is, they use thought to study and use thought to interpret the sutta. Many years after their degree, they come out to teach according to what they believe from their interpretation. What happened is they use the instrument of thought to read the sutta, interpret the sutta, and then come out in methods and technique to teach meditation. What is a method? What is a technique? They are just a series of instructions to do things. And it has nothing to do with meditation or training of the mind to be heedful. If you do not understand what this means, then you can become gullible. There is a series of instructions born of the thought process, which is the instrument they use. The instrument is limited by itself because it is thought-based. Then from this method and technique, which is thought-based, you try to realize a state or enlightenment that is beyond thought, beyond time, which is the Dhamma. Here the Dhamma is Akkaliko. Is it possible? Definitely it's not possible. It's just like your microscope. Let's say it can magnify only 10 times, means the old version. But you want to see something maybe 100,000 times smaller. How can you see? You can never see where you use thought, which is like the underpower microscope, which is limited by its own capacity to magnify. You are supposed to silence your mind and awaken. You are supposed to awaken to the silent mind, the meditative mind, which is beyond thought, beyond. But you can never know what that silent mind is, where you are actively using thought to probe, to meditate. And who is the meditator? Again, is the thought. The thought is actively doing in the name of meditation with its conditioning, views and opinion and belief system. From the known, they are searching for truth. The problem is the truth is the unknown, beyond thought, beyond time. So how can the known understand the unknown? Impossible. Therefore, if you do not investigate and come out to develop this understanding, then you will not understand the essential Dhamma that the Buddha has taught. The Buddha taught heedfulness, mindfulness, when it comes to purification of mind. Whereas the Buddha's first two advice on avoiding all evil, do good, are both thought-based. But when it comes to purification of mind, Sacitta Pariyodhapanam, Etang Buddhana Sasana, the Buddha never used thought or effort anymore. He just said sati, which is mindfulness or awareness. That's why the real meditation is just sati, mindfulness, awareness, and the silent mind. And that is the one that can be very penetrative. That is the right instrument. Without sati, the whole of cultivation collapses. I've already explained in many of my talks. When the book Emptiness come out, many of you will have the right understanding. Because it is very clearly explained in the book. Then there is also another book. The sister in B helped did up the transcript. I'm now in the process of finalizing it. That one will be quite fast too, as Sister AB have put in the time track to match the transcript. So I do not have to listen to the recording all over again every time when I need to continue the editing and checking. Straight away I can go to the time track because I know where I stop and I can continue from there. Otherwise, I have to listen to it again. Sometimes I just correct what she wrote. most of what she transcribed is very good and very near, except for certain places, because it is not easy as the whole talk is very long and certain words are missing. When you don't listen clearly, the word, the meaning runs. There was a case, an inner nature, but she heard and transcribed it as in the nature. So this one is quite common. Eh? You can, through the listening, gather the wrong thing, because an inner nature and in the nature, they sound very close, but the meaning is totally different. Sometimes the pronunciation is very near, but when I read it, I will know that this is not the style or something that I will speak or write. Then I will refer to the recording for confirmation. Sometimes one or two of the words are missing or sound the same. Just like the famous Malaysian saying, sound like me, look like me, but may not be me. So this one is a humorous, maybe example. Then we move on to the next question. Question 3.5, also by Sister Engby. She said, this is not a question, but whether is it correct? My initial understanding on the second aspect of the five aggregate form in mind is that it is not happening in the present moment. It's like recalling from the past memory and perception. Whereas the first aspect of the form in mind is whatever that happens in the present moment. So I explained to her and replied, it depends on how stable your mindfulness is. If your mindfulness is very clear, both also happen within the present moment reality. Because the first aspect is just a human being or a living being, nothing else. It's just a form of mind. You have a physical body, and they call that the rupa, the form aggregate. Then there is a consciousness trapped inside the physical body. These two combined is the five aggregate form and mind, the first aspect as a human being. That's why the Buddha said, you attach and cling to this, it becomes grasping, aggregate, upadana khandas, and suffering will arise. Whereas the second aspect, which the Buddha is more interested in, is the mental five aggregates of form and mind. And that one, every moment, every instant, it arises. When it arises, it is not what the books say. It is not linear. It's multidimensional. Upon contact, according to dependent origination, pasat pachya vedana. That is dependent on contact, feeling arises. No. And this is not the case, because straight away or simultaneously upon contact, everything arises. In the first two links, avijja paccaya sankhara, there is also contact when you think. So upon contact, consciousness arises. Ignorant contact condition, ignorant content of consciousness to go in. So straight away, that content of consciousness that went in is either wholesome or unwholesome. Kusala or akusala. That's why within the vinyanam or the consciousness and namarupam, the five aggregate of form and mind, the second aspect, they arise simultaneously. And that one is within the moment. Yeah. That's why you can be at that moment, the moment of consciousness, the moment of perception, the moment of content of consciousness, all this can arise simultaneously. But simultaneously within this namarupang, which is vinyanang and its content, the whole of the citta or consciousness and its content, which is the thought or the five mental aggregates of form and mind, arise. And this is what your thought is all about. This is the one that has the seven universal inside and all the other kusala and akusala mental state. This is the one that you need to realize through your meditation. That's why you can see your subtle mental intention. That's how you can see your subtle mental intention behind. And you will know that all these are conditioned by your views and opinion. They are mostly wrong view initially. So it doesn't mean that upon contact, only feeling arises. Upon contact, the first thing, ignorant contact, also condition consciousness and discontent, which has delusion. That's why upon contact, feeling arises, and you cannot cut a feeling because of delusion. You will still grab cling. That's why craving will immediately comes about. That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, then straight away it will go to the craving link very fast. So you cannot cut a feeling or craving because upon contact, feeling arises, that is vijnana paccaya tanha and tanha paccaya upadan, which is feeling will condition craving and craving will condition grasping, and without wisdom, you cannot stop the paticca samuppanna or dependent origination link. That's the reason why you must develop right view via straightening your views. To arise the wisdom and the understanding, then only feeling will remain as pure feeling, which means your mind will not stir when you have the right view. Then during the moment of sense experience, you can have mindfulness. You can be at the moment of feeling. Then without avijja or ignorant or wrong view, your mind will not stir. You just stay there. It cannot move, here there is no ignorance or avijja, and there is no craving, no like and dislike. That's how dependent origination didn't carry through. And this is not cut a feeling, because there is wisdom or unisok manasikara at the moment of sense experience. Hence you are no longer deluded, and because you are no longer deluded, you didn't hold, you didn't cling. That's why you cannot grasp, you cannot cling. That's the reason why it cannot move. Feeling become pure feeling. You cannot with ignorance cut a feeling. If you do that, what does it mean? It means you are suppressing your feeling, whereas you don't want to have craving. Or it may also mean you don't want to get angry, but deep inside the evil roots are still there, not rooted out as yet. Then when you see somebody say all those things, you say yan. Yan means a Cantonese word for suppression, or don't want to react, or patient in Cantonese, which means you are suppressing your feeling. We are don't want to get angry. That is not the paticca samuppada that the Buddha taught. That is suppression of emotion and feeling. But when you have wisdom and you can accept them for what they are, you do not have to yan or develop that suppression. You can just smile and accept him for what he is. You can have love and compassion. We are saying forgive him, for he knows not what he is doing. Then you can radiate metta. May he be well and happy. May the blessing of the triple gem to be with him. May there be love, peace and joy deep within his and her heart. Then your mind becomes very different. There is no more anger. No more trying to cut a feeling, trying to forgive, etc. There is no more such delusion, because it understands. The moment it understands, it does not do all those frivolous things. Without delusion, it will not hold. If you don't hold, then who let go? You will understand only people who hold and still have attachment and clinging wants to let go. And this is a fallacy. If you have delusion and clinging and wants to let go, is it possible? You only verbalize. We are saying, I forgive you. But your tone is still not sincere. and your anger is still there. When you say, okay, never mind, I will let go, I don't want to think about it anymore, and what for? Go and suffer. Do you think you have let go? It's only words. A person who has delusion cannot let go. But the moment you understand, it is immediate and spontaneous or sudden. And then you cannot hold anymore. When you cannot hold, is there a need to let go? You don't need to do anything because you are no longer deluded by it anymore. Just like this cup of tea. It is very hot. If you can see the vapor coming out, do you dare to touch it? But the newborn baby who doesn't know what chili is, what hot is, you ask them to touch, they will touch. But the moment they get burned, they will learn. If you have the understanding, you will never, never touch. When you don't touch, it means you are not holding anymore. No need to let go. When you understand, you will come to know that whatever the world, you will come to know what the worldly people advise you to do may sound very logical, but I always tell you all that whatever that is logical is mundane truth. It may not be the real ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is always the opposite of what is logical. There has been so many incidents already, and the truth is always the opposite of what normal people think or commonly perceived by society. Just like meditation, if you tell people there is no need for effort, and there is nobody to meditate, you're just silent, they will look at you like you are crazy. If there is nobody to meditate and you don't meditate, then how can you be enlightened? That will be their question. With no method and technique how to meditate, to them, this is illogical. So whatever that is popularly accepted and logical appear correct to the mundane people is always the reverse of the ultimate truth. Then they want to know what method and what type of meditation you teach. They will ask, is it Vipassana? Sometimes you don't need to mention the method. They will also attend because you mention the word Vipassana. But if you say something else, they will not come because Vipassana is the more popularly accepted word. But what is Vipassana? They don't even know, or they don't even want to find out or know. That's why you can end up as very gullible. Everywhere you go, you are looking for words. That's why when they say, I teach jnana and jhana, etc., they will be very interested. But when you teach the essential Dhamma, Four Noble Truths, Five Spiritual Faculties, Three Evil Roots, they don't want to attend or learn. Essential Dhamma is the basis of the Buddha's teaching, the essence of his teaching. From there, all his other teachings spin off. Because people lack this understanding, that's why they are so conditioned, they are so attached. The second aspect, the five aggregates of form and mind, can also be with the moment if you are aware. It is always there because it is the reality. What you mean maybe is not physical, not something tangible. That is why to you it's mental. It's like you think it's a recollection and all those things. No, it is within that moment, that instant. Because when you're silent, it will arise upon contact. The silent will know what happened, the whole of the content of consciousness. Then only the content went in. The whole of the consciousness, the pure consciousness. Then later the content went in. But it is so fast, and because of habitual tendency, the whole thing is already there. That's why you cannot do anything about it. And you cannot really understand what is going on. But when you are mindful and you have the ability to be silent until it's very stable, then throughout the day, your mind is very different. You can be at the moment of sense experience, at the moment of contact, the moment of seeing, hearing, etc. There is no thought. At the moment of hearing also, there is no thought. Then it can stay there. The feeling at the moment of sense contact will remain as pure feeling, no movement. For the normal people, Paticca-samuppada is very fast. They already get angry or emotional and already reacted, stir their mind. But this one is very different. It can stay there. The awareness can be very stable and it can be at the moment of feeling. Stay there at the moment of perception, at the moment of activity of Maya Sankara, and at the moment of consciousness. It's just aware, no movement. You can only understand all this when you have reached that stage of cultivation, of stability of cultivation. It's like swimming. You won't understand it until you experience the real buoyancy and flotation. All these are words only. You can never understand. But the moment you experience that buoyancy and flotation, you will understand what that person is trying to share with you. So meditation is the same. When you meditate, don't try to know. Just maintain silence. The moment it comes, the form and mind will know. When sati is there, it will also know. When it is there, it is so different. The mind is so still, so silent, and it can be with the moment of sense experience. Everything is like in sati, like in slow motion. Then it just flow. Then you can witness the whole of the essential Dhamma's teaching within your own form and mind. Then you can see clearly that Dhamma is within life itself, not apart from life. Every moment of consciousness, every moment of sense experience, the Dhamma is there. That is why it is called the living Dhamma, not knowledge. Knowledge is recalled to memory and thought based. Okay, I think we better end. Sadhu. So that's the whole of the sharing. Then there's a closing puja. Then the closing puja, I think you can check it out with the chanting book. And the transcript. There are some blank pages for you to make notes. So you want to make note, you can turn to the back of this transcript book and make some notes. Because these are suggestions from Pamasri and Brother Tim, which is very good. Based on some feedback, some of the newly transcript book, they have put in the, what they call notes, blank pages. Okay, I think we will end here. Then if you want to go for toilet break, you can. Then after that, we will have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. Okay, so those who want to go for toilet break, you can. Then come back, you can start your meditation. So we will off the light, then you can have your awareness-based meditation, 45 minutes. I will set the alarm. Just relax body and mind, the four support, relax body and mind. Relax into every mind state that arises. Then maintain silent your mind. Don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just maintain silent awareness within, aware, away and let the mind settle down. Then it will return to its original state before the thinking, before the stirring. Then you will realize your true mind, your silent mind, and stabilize it. Maintain the awareness for as long as you can. That's why the third support is technically 24-hour awareness. And finally, when you have the ability to develop the meditative training until your mindfulness is so stable, your awareness is very stable, then you can go for the fourth support, trust. Then you silence everything and stay at the heart area. Then let the silence detect whatever vibration or heartbeat. Then just silence everything and stay there. Then find out what happened. That is real meditation. Okay? So we have finished this book, The Essence of the Buddhist. Oh, sorry. The Essential Dhamma of Lord Buddha. So before the class start, I think Sister Po Cheng asked me what book will we be using for the next sharing. There is this book, which is a seminal book. Success in Life via Meditation, Following the Dhamma Way, by Malaysian speaker, Engineer Teo Keng Kun, which is me. Experience and Success. Means the title needs us to develop the understanding of the Buddha's teaching and how to apply it to develop success in life via meditation following the Dhamma Way. So this seminar paper that I delivered was very good. It's an international seminar on life management with meditation, experience and success. So this was held in August 2013, which was 8 years ago, on the 10th and 12th of August 2013 in Bangkok. This seminar was organized by the World Buddhist University, WBU, and the World Fellowship of Buddhists, WFB, together with Vipallivarana Mindfulness Center, PMC. So this is a very interesting seminar book. So I will go through it all next Sunday. Oh no, the title of this book you can see. Can they see? Ah, okay. My daughter will send you all the link. Then at least you all can have a look at it. Then read to it will help you. I will read to you the introduction. This will make clear what this book is all about. Introduction. This international seminar on life management and meditation, experience and success, dated 10 to 12 August 2013, held in Bangkok, Thailand, was co-organized by the World Buddhist University, the World Fellowship of Buddhists, and Vipallivarana Mindfulness Center of Thailand. And Brad Teo was invited to present a paper at this seminar as a Malaysian speaker, lay speaker, basing on some very good feedback and suggestion from seminar participants and kayamitas who had the condition to listen to this seminar speech, and those who managed to receive their above seminar international seminar papers, repainter notes. Brad Teo had finally agreed to allow his international seminar paper to be reprinted in a booklet form for free distribution to all those who are interested and has the affinity to receive it. It is Bradfield's sincere hope and intention that Dharma friends, spiritual practitioners, seekers of truth, cultivators, free thinkers, and devotees will be able to make use of this Dharma presented in this international seminar for them to develop a better understanding of the Dharma as taught by the Buddha so that they may progress along the path of Dharma to become more virtuous, nobler, and wiser human beings. That can be a blessing to all. So basically, this is the gist of it. So you can read through, it will help you. Then there's a content page which is very good. The table of content share this introduction, acknowledgement, opening statement, and introduction to the topic. Then the main seminar paper share this understanding life, its meaning and purpose following the Dharma way. Then the importance of mindfulness or present moment awareness, and understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence, the scientific law and the spiritual law. Then the next topic is the meaning and purpose of life, followed by two important aspects of life. Then we have the conclusion. So this particular seminar paper is very good and very comprehensive and yet simplified to allow practitioner of Dhamma to understand the essential teachings of the Buddha and how to apply his teaching to develop the understanding of life so that you know how to live life and able to be successful in life. Of course, via meditation, following the Dhamma way, the teaching as taught by the Buddha. Then this one covers both the mundane and supramundane aspect of life. So when we talk about success in life, it can mean a lot for most people who are non-spiritual. To them, success in life can be in various forms. You can be successful academically, means you excel in the academic career. Then some excel in their whatever career that they take up. Like if they are interested in sports, they can become very successful in the field that they belong to. Like nowadays, we can witness a lot of games that are being played, and there are a lot of world championships. And if you can reach the pinnacle of your career, you can become very successful. And a lot of these athletes or people who are very successful in their various type of respective games that they play, even badminton, tennis, golf, table tennis, or even basketball, football, and many other sports, swimming, like the Olympic Games and all those things, you can become very famous and well rewarded. So to them, that is success. Then there is also what we call financial freedom. When you are able to develop your own financial freedom, it's a form of success too. But most of these are mainly materialistic success. The more difficult to achieve one is the spiritual success. So materialistic success, I think most people, they are able to achieve them. Nowadays, with our society, you have the what they call determination to really work towards it, to become successful in whatever field you are interested in, you can become very successful. Then you must also be able to contribute to humanity to be a blessing to all the society and all those things. Mm. Then the success has meaning. Otherwise, it may not have meaning. But most people, despite the materialistic success, may not really be happy. So life itself is not just materialistic success. Having financial freedom, having wealth, of course, this bring about many aspects of better life or good life. But when we confront the reality of life and existence, the first noble truth of what Lord Buddha had taught us, then we realize with all the material success, we still need to confront all this reality, which is not easy. And without wisdom, despite all the money or success, materialistic success that we may have, we may not be happy. We can still be afflicted. It's like when you go through old age, sickness, impending death, or separation from loved one, when you are with people whom you don't like, when you cannot get what you want in life, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, when you attach and cling to all the worldly things, the materialistic thing, your own form and mind, the five aggregates, suffering can still arise. There can still be sorrow and lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, unhappiness, misery. Sometimes because of all this affliction, it can lead to accumulation of negative thought process. So all this wrong thought can create depressive thought, leading to severe depression, sorrow and lamentation. So this is the aspect of life that a lot of people fail to understand. That's why people look forward to religion when they have problems, when they confront this reality. Then sometimes not all religions have the truth. Then even if those religions may have the truth, but you don't have the understanding, you may not develop the wisdom to liberate your mind, to free your mind, to understand what is going on in life, to understand clearly who are you, what are you, and what really life is. These are very complex questions, complicated questions. But of all the religions that we had in this world, basically based on my own experience, I realized the Buddhist teaching, which is the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us, is most complete. It can lead me to understand life completely, both the mundane and the supramundane. It's not only materialistic aspect of life, it also gave rise to understanding that liberates the mind, leading to enlightenment, that can allow one to actually understand the supramundane aspect of mind. That is, we understand clearly who are we, what are we, and what is that nature within us that is beyond the form and mind, the eternal nature, the eternal life. Then we will understand birth and death. We will understand who died, what died. In fact, nothing died, no one died. It's only nature's law evolving. So all this understanding within the teaching, and you can develop clear understanding of them if you have cultivated them, put them into practice, and develop the meditative awakening. Then all this understanding become clear, and it is possible to understand life completely, both the mundane and supramundane. And when you know what life is, when you understand life, you know how to live life. That's why you can develop success in life via this meditation, following the Dhamma way. So success consists of two parts. One is the materialistic aspect. So for this particular book sharing, I describe how I personally, through my own personal experience and understanding, able to achieve all this, not only the materialistic success, finally, even able to transcend life and develop the spiritual success, both mundane and super mundane. So for us as a human being, when we talk about success in life, is normally when we are born into this world, if we have a good birth or a reasonably good childhood life, don't have to worry about the three meals, then there is this food and shelter available. Then the basic necessity of life are there. We have good parents, good brothers and sisters, and maybe family members. Yeah. And as we grew up as a child, we have to go through the academic career. We go through school. So the first success normally is academic success. So when you develop academic success, it is one of the materialistic success that human being can achieve. So if you do very well in your academic field, you can claim that success, especially if you are the cream within your own state, your own country, or you manage to do very well in your academic career. Means you excel in academic field. You did very well. So all this you can accomplish, which is to me not that difficult, relatively easy. Most people can accomplish that. Then after that, we came out to work. Then when we came out to work, career success is more difficult. Not everybody can make it, but it's also possible, career success. So you can also reach the pinnacle of your career. It can be any field, not necessarily working, like I said, in the field of sport, in the field of innovation, or whatever. So anything that is related to career, you can also be in the academic field as a researcher or university lecturer, professor, associate professor, or professor emeritus and all those things. Then for those who really make it, they can also achieve very noble academic success like Nobel Prize winner and all those things. And of course, from career, we move on to something that is related. Normally, if you are successful in your career, you will also be successful in your financial aspect of life. Your career comes with financial stability and success. So the world recognizes academic success. So with academic success, it normally brings about career success, but not always the case, because in the career field is very strange. People who are not educated can also develop great success. So that is the only field. You don't depend too much on the academic success. It's how you conduct yourself and how you actually take care of karma and manage your career, your relationship with people, your ability to develop that type of career mind, to develop success in whatever you do in the field of management, in the field of leadership, innovation, and many others. Then with financial success, you normally talk about financial freedom. means you are able to replace your earning power with whatever investment that you may have or assets that you may have. Then this investment or financial asset can allow you to generate the type of income that is more than what you can normally make or receive when you're working. And these are the amount that exceed what you need in life. So financial success or financial stability means you are able to have enough investment or money to generate the type of income so that you don't have to work for money anymore. Your whatever money that you have, financial asset or investment or whatever that you have, that can generate that type of financial income to let you live the good life, to continuously grow your money and let you do what you want to do in life, charity or whatever. So this aspect is very beautiful. So academic success, career success, then financial success. You can reach the pinnacle of your career is also very good. How come got the word internet not stable? Oh, unified. Oh, okay. Sorry, just now I saw the computer come out with the word that our Wi-Fi is not stable. So I asked my doctor, she said unified problem. So hopefully it's not affecting us. Okay, then I continue. So after you have achieved this materialistic success, most people can achieve this. Of course, when I say most means just a handful, maybe the top 2 or 3% of people, bright people, they can have this academic success, followed by career success. They may reach the pinnacle of their career. Then, of course, financial stability and success. Then you can get to live life based on your understanding. Means you can retire early, or you can opt for semi-retirement to do what you want to do in life. And that is beautiful. Means you know how to plan your life. You know how to actually live life. Then after that, the next thing which is more difficult, where most people can't realize or achieve, is the stable, loving and harmonious family unit. But of course, if you are not married, then it's your relationship with your loved ones and people, your parents, your siblings and other things. So this relationship or family unit success is not easy. To have a family unit that is beautiful, full of harmony, understanding, then everyone successful. Then there is no misunderstanding or conflict. Where the family unit really develops the understanding of working together towards the happiness and success and harmony of the family unit. I realize in life, most people, you check, they have a lot of problems within their family unit. Sometimes there's a lot of misunderstanding between parents and children. Sometimes between the parents, the spouse, they also have misunderstanding. Then they cannot agree to a lot of things. There's a lot of miscommunication, lack of communication, misunderstanding, conflict, argument, disharmony. And sometimes because of certain issue in life, certain situation that arise, they hate each other. They develop envy, jealousy, hatred. Then sometimes because of karmic, a lot of karmic, then it entangles the family unit's relationship. Like parents having children that get into big trouble with the karmic law or with society's law, and also with a lot of karmic debt repayment and all those things, thereby creating problems for parents. Then sometimes parents creating problems for children and all those things. So that aspect of relationship success, family unit success in life, it's not easy to achieve that. You need to have Dhamma, you need to have understanding, and you need the Dhamma to actually bring forth the understanding so that you will have good family units. So all this is difficult to come by, but there are some who are able to have them too, because by nature they have good nature. And this one, I think most religion, they have this religious people or spiritual people who are very kind, very loving, very compassionate, who do their duty very well, who really have love. So all these people, they manage to develop wholesomeness, leading to good relationship, family unit. But the last one is the most difficult, spiritual success. To develop true understanding of the real spiritual teaching that can let you understand life and the enlightenment or the wisdom to live life, and that one is more difficult. So to reach the pinnacle of your spiritual understanding or spiritual success is not easy. This one, not many, very, very rare, very few. So if you can have all this developed through the Dhamma way, then my nature will subdue you, rejoice in you. So let's stop here and let this be a brief introduction of what the next Sunday's topic is. I read to you the title of the book again, Success in Life via Meditation, Following the Dhamma Way. This is the seminar paper that I delivered at the International Seminar on Life Management with Meditation, Experience and Success on the 10 to 12 August 2013 at Bangkok, Thailand. So I think they took from four countries. Every country, they have two speakers. One is a monastic, the other one is a lay speaker. So I was chosen to be the lay speaker for Malaysia. Then the other six are, seven, one of them is a monk from Malaysia too. Then the other six are from the other three countries. You have a mixture. You go through the book, you will know. So all this is very meaningful, beautiful. And hopefully when we really go through, it can let you develop the clear understanding of what this beautiful Dhamma is. How it can really help people develop understanding of life, leading to success in life. Then you understand what is the meaning of life, purpose of life. Then you will know how to live life. So all these are very beautiful. Then you can plan your life and develop understanding of how to actually achieve all those milestones that can allow you to develop all the clear understanding of what the spiritual and the materialistic aspect of life. Then also the importance of mindfulness of present moment awareness. So all these are covered. I have summarized it. The book is very thin. It's only about 17 pages. So this one is very beautiful. So we will now open up for maybe meditation reporting, followed by any question that you may have. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention, Puching recommended the other book. After the success in Life Via Meditation, he recommended going through this blue book, Cultivating the Bodhisattva Way. He find it very useful, very informative, and beautiful in the sense that many years back when she read, she didn't really have the clear understanding. But now she happened to flick through, she realized it's very, very beautiful, and the understanding now is very different. So I will get Puching to maybe say a few words on this. Puching, are you there?
Hello, Amitabha, Dio, Mr. Yeah, Steele, and all Kayamitas. I was thinking about this book because many Kayamitas also doing these Bodhisattva vows in the past months as well. So it's good that we refresh, and moreover, when I first did it, Brother Kyo also don't have much time in Cameron Highlands.
We didn't really go too much. Yeah. I only do certain paragraphs to read.
Correct. So with this Zoom, then we can take our time and go through it in more details. Then it will help a lot of cultivators to develop a correct understanding. So this Bodhisattva Vows has the reason I bring it up also because I'm a regular person that do this Bodhisattva Vows. I realized that my understanding is a lot different now compared to the first time I did in 2017. Somehow the understanding just appear to you rather than you try to struggle. What is that?
Bodhisattva vow, when you take it with sincerity and understanding, it has its actual what we call miraculous power to actually bring you to the path and give rise to causes and conditions for you to move, and it break your coming obstruction. And all those things, without you realizing it, the understanding keep on unfolding. Then the affinity with the great beings, the Buddhas and the great Bodhisattva, their nature ever radiating for the cultivator of the way will actually create condition for you to move. And all of the aspiration that you make, they will come to fruition. They will nurture and also help you to cultivate this understanding and progress along the Bodhisattva way. And a lot of that yellow card procedure and vows and aspiration, right view that you aspire, the miscellaneous vow, etc., they are very useful. That's why my nature has this understanding, and because of that, by coming this life, I have this ability to share all this. Then Maitreya came in the year 2008 to request my nature to share. There are two things that my nature is supposed to share. The first one is the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, the true teaching, 正法. The second one is this Bodhisattva way, to cut short the training, to develop very stable understanding and condition for Bodhisattva to move in a very, very fast way. It's very, we call it a very radical transformation of cultivation understanding. Yeah. So all this will continue to evolve, and there are more and more bodhisattvas or great beings that have this ability to continuously improve and generate new understanding. It's just like our civilization. As we move along the phase of internet boom, or we call it the IT revolution, you will see a lot of spin-off from there, the innovation that leads to a lot of application of innovation and application towards the IT revolution and the IT field, that it will help transform understanding of a lot of things. You know, it speed up a lot of things, commerce, banking, technical understanding, even make a lot of computer calculation very fast. That's why it can enable living beings to become space beings, or we call it, we can explore into space. Now we have accomplished some planetary achievements. Means we have the technology to send spaceship rockets up into the sky, then target to visit the moon. Then now is the planets, Mars. Then some of this spacecraft, they are able to fly way beyond our planets. It has reached out to the unknown. So a lot of civilization progress, or what we call the future progress, can actually take off. It all started with, of course, scientific finding. And there are certain key people who are responsible for all this. And these are IT one. Maybe Bill Gates come out with the window technology, then Steve Jobs come out with the iPhone, Apple, and all those things. Then we have all the other innovation that comes along. And within the last 30, 40 years, we progress so fast. So the spiritual field is the same. When we are in the sasana, a lot of great beings and cultivators, they can also evolve new understanding. And in future, there will be more and more of all this. Then even our Kayamita who have this understanding, maybe by the next sasana, most of you all will become very different, very beautiful. And you can also come up with your own understanding to help humanity to have more understanding of the cultivation. So this is what the Bodhisattva way can actually create. It's like technology. It's through understanding, and you keep on coming out with new understanding to improve on it, like the miscellaneous vow. Yeah, each and every one of us is unique, and we have our own understanding, speciality, specialty. So all this is an added sharing because of Pocheng. You can continue, Pocheng.
Because of all this IT, that's why we have Zoom, and then we can join and listen directly from Radio. So it's really good to have such advancement in IT to help, you know, to connect the whole world and and everybody together.
Yes.
Yeah. Otherwise, you won't have this Zoom sharing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Because of technology. Yeah. Can make a big difference. So
yes, make a lot of difference.
It's not technology. You don't blame technology. Technology is here to stay, like it or not. But it's the user of technology. Always remember that.
Yeah.
It's just like our own form and mind. The whole universe is a common humanity's problem. Yes, form and mind will always come. But how we develop understanding of this form and mind and the use of form and mind is very important. So same, when we know how to use them like technology, we will progress. We will become very beautiful. Good.
Yes, talking about this bodhisattva, right? Wow, right? So it's still whack to me, like how I can come back. I choose to come back rather than I have no choice but to come back. You know, that part will be very good if you can choose when to come back.
Yeah. You will be able
So that is the cultivation I also kind of want to know and learn as well, you know.
Yeah.
Like how do I choose to come back, you know?
Yes. Yeah. Because I have explained them in the blue book. So when we go through, I will point out to you and explain to you. And all this can be done because it's based on power of merit, perfection, wholesomeness. So when you develop a lot of wholesomeness, a lot of understanding, your merit becomes limitless, inconceivable. So all this, when you convert them into causes and conditions to invoke the power of truth, power of merits, it can bring forth the causes and conditions for you to decide when to come, how to come, the timing and all those things. That's why there are two types of beings. One type of being is they are still not enlightened. They don't have a choice. They have to come because of karma. So karma conditioned them to take rebirth. Whereas the second category of being is the bodhisattvas. They are enlightened beings who walk the path of Buddhahood. And because of that, they have taken those four basic vows. And the four basic vows, together with their perfection, cultivation of the bodhisattva way, the spiritual nature and the karmic nature, will enable them to develop all this possibility to come. So initially, when it is not very stable, then the coming is you don't have much control. You leave it to nature's process. Then nature, once your bodhisattva vow has been planted, the bodhi mind planted with sincerity, then it will send forth the condition. But when the condition is there, when you come as a bodhisattva during the initial training or process, you normally cannot plan because you don't know. A lot of things you still don't understand. So you just come. Then you go through life. Then it depends on your karmic nature, your spiritual nature. If it's limited, you will come to know and connect maybe later. Then after that, you will slowly develop the cultivation. Then if your vows and aspiration has been developed properly by the proper teacher who can guide you like the yellow card, then chances are when you come, you have good condition because you break karmic obstruction, all the right view that you aspire will be there. Then you receive Dhamma very fast. Then you understand the teaching very fast. Then you connect to your nature very fast. Then after that, all your affinity with the great beings, all the great bodhisattva and samasambuddha, they will arise to support you, protect you, guide you, bless you. So blessing, protection, and guidance, all this will surface. That's how you move. Then as you develop more and more understanding, then you can actually make aspiration to develop the choice. You can choose to come under what circumstances, what condition. So you will know how to set the causes and condition for all this to manifest through nature's law. And that time will be most beautiful. That time your coming are very beautiful because is all developed through wisdom and understanding. Like this life, when my nature come, I realized it was so beautiful. I used to tell my wife and my children and those some of the close Kayamita. Even if they allow me to plan my life, I cannot plan it so well. It's because of that understanding, that perfection. That's why everything is like already planned, the way it evolved. My nature didn't really do anything. It just echoed and flowed through understanding. Then the unfolding is so beautiful. Everything becomes so beautiful. That's why I had a lot of joy. I marvel at the way it unfolds. But this is Dhamma. This is the way the Dhamma is. If you have that understanding, all this becomes possible. That is the meaning of true emptiness is wonderful existence. 真空妙有. So this is the part you want to perfect yourself and develop the understanding. So this is a brief summary of what you will be able to understand. So continue with the training, develop the faith. You will evolve and have a lot of beautiful understanding later on. Then after this life, your future coming all will be keep on evolving, improving. As you understand, you can introduce more understanding. Then your vow become different. Your miscellaneous vow become different. But the basic vow that I teach you is a very good, what they call a good start. You can start with this one. You already way ahead of a lot of bodhisattva who may not have the condition to receive all this type of good understanding from the great beings. So this one is really something very, very rare and very useful. Okay, Pochek, you can continue.
Sadhu, Bharatiyo, yeah, it's kind of like secret of life for me, you know, this spouse that guide me along, you know. So I think it helps me a lot in my cultivation.
Save a lot of time.
Yes. It's really like I often say, not enough maybe, but I often say it's like cut short my cultivation and bring me forward, you know, rather than stuck somewhere and then in circle, you know. And that is how I feel about my cultivation, Brother Teo. So I really have great respect and gratitude to Brother Teo for helping me, you know, for saving me in that way, in my spiritual journey.
Yeah, but also I have to study you because you have your past, you have your affinity, and you have your condition. Otherwise, you wouldn't be what you are now. So all these things, like I said, the individual form and mind may not know. But when the time comes, when you move, then you start to realize you have a past, you have a nature. And otherwise, you cannot be what you are now. That's why initially, you may go to the worldly life, the worldly duty and all those things. Because that time, you don't have the condition and you have not really met the people who can really let you have this understanding. So for you to have such condition means in the past you must have met my nature before, or also make certain vow to receive this teaching and understanding. That's why it manifests. And sometimes without you knowing, you encounter certain great beings who advise you to make those aspiration and vow. Then some are true affinity. So our encounter and many of your past encounters could have led to all this possibility. That's why I used to share with Kanyamita that you may think you are nobody, but when you have faith, when you develop the Sada Virya, and when you move, when you connect, then only you can know what your past is. Before you connect, it's just like your case. you don't know anything. You are like very new, very raw. Like everything is like they call the inexperienced cultivator, very new. But when the moment you have the condition and you decide with faith to go seriously or out to cultivate, when you see the urgency, then when you connect, you progress and transform very fast. Then it brings you back to what your level was in the past. So what you may lack in the past, you can actually mitigate it now. Because most people are not focused on the training, the cultivation. They have a lot of unfinished worldly duty or worldly thing. Then they come, life after life, is to do all those things. But when you are very established with the spiritual understanding and the cultivation, when you come in a very different way. You plan your life. You plan your civilization, the condition and everything. And all this will fall into place. Then it will take shape by itself. Then you don't waste time. Like this life, when my nature comes, at the age of 17, I probe really. I start to probe. I don't have problem in life, but I start to probe. And when I was young, I was protected from believing all those things that are not correct because of my past, the karmic past and the spiritual understanding. And when it's time to move, my nature move. Then along the way as I go through life, there are a lot of things that is meant to be. They will show it to me, the sign and all those things. Then when I was still young, even the example I share with you, how I actually at the age of 8, how through greed, I try to steal 2 ringgit out of my mother's ang bao. I thought she would know. But that itself teach me a great lesson about karma. I don't know what that thing was, but my luck become very bad. I become very sui. And that one I remember that this is for me to understand, to see. And later on, the out-of-the-body experience also for me to see and understand. Then how my life almost end up premature. I supposed to die 2-3 times already. The form of mind. But this form of mind is very fragile. But because of affinity, Kuan Yin actually protected me and helped me, the nature, then gave me back life. So there were 2 or 3 occasions. So a lot of these things, they will manifest and show it to you. So as I grew up, I knew I'm not normal. I am unique. There are a lot of things I understand is so different from normal kids, normal people. I see things differently. I understand things differently. I learn things differently. Not the conventional way, the logical way. That's why I say what I see and understand is all the time the opposite of what normal living beings do. Even when I play the flute, it's the body opposite. I hold it the other way around. And the way I see things, understand things is so different. Very few people can really comprehend or understand. So all this, they will manifest. Then when the time comes, the guide comes, the teacher comes, the great being will come, then the message will come. Then I will understand. Then I will connect. Then people who are supposed to help me or develop the understanding, share with me certain things, they will come. That's why the teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. And within that 3 years, I connect and learn everything. Then after that, until today, nobody really has this ability to teach me beyond what I have understood since 1989. So all this is due to the Bodhisattva vow, the understanding, the perfection and all those things. So all this understanding, if you really cultivate sincerely, you will know. That's why I didn't waste time on all this meandering and all those things. Things that are not important, just let it be. But I still have very good family life. Those who cultivate affinity, my nature, they will come and become my wife and my children. Then, of course, Kayamita also. They have affinity with me in the past, my nature. Otherwise, you cannot be what you are. You cannot recognize my teaching. You cannot have such affinity. But some are due to my vows and all those things, and affinity with Kuan Yin and all those things. That's why it can create condition and manifest affinity and condition for you all to arise. So all this understanding, if you walk this path sincerely, with faith, diligently, you can also develop the understanding. And the perfection can bring forth all this beautiful understanding. Okay, Pochai, this one will benefit you a lot, and also some of the Anita.
Yes, Mahasadhu, Mahasadhu, Bratio.
Hi everyone, Bratio, Mrs. Teo, good evening, and all Kayanamitas. Such a long time I didn't share.
Hey, Pocheng, decide to choose you.
Okay. Actually, I find that for the past few months, all the sharing very, very good.
Yeah, very good and very meaningful.
Very good. So with Brother Teo's deep explanation, So we have a better understanding, deep understanding, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah.
Of the whole cultivation, yes.
Yes, yes. And I think it helps a lot for us to cultivate.
Yes.
And this is a very good platform for us as a cultivator, I think. And then it developed our faith as well.
Yes, definitely. And it helped to motivate a lot of Kayamitas.
It really developed, it strengthened my faith as well.
Yes, very strong. Because when you start to see more and more Kayamita having the determination, the faith, and the progress, you yourself also will determine and develop the faith, and you will also strive on with faithfulness to develop all this. But these are so beautiful.
Yes.
Money cannot buy. And it involves our existence, our life, our future coming. If you don't have this understanding, you suffer, you become afflicted, miserable. Then with this understanding, we can plan our life, change our life, and improve the way we arise. So this is the beauty of understanding life. Understanding the Dhamma. For you, Elsie, because of your faith and your good understanding, you can actually benefit.
I just share a little bit of my cultivation also. For the first few years, I have been with Brother Teo for quite a number of years, actually. So for the first few years, I just listened to your sharing. So I didn't do much, only listening to your sharing. So only since last year, before, I think I shared earlier or so, just before 6 weeks before my mate went back, so I just the urge to start cultivating. I started doing my religious routine.
Very good. That one is very important.
So until today,
Sadhu.
So it has been for quite some time now, actually. So I think when we have the condition, we need to we have to cultivate now, because we will know what will happen. So like my physical due to my aging process, I did encounter some physical problem also.
Yeah.
So I can't do my bowing for
quite,
I mean for a few months already.
Yeah, it's very normal. Don't worry. If you can't do your bowing, then don't have to do. You can develop daily mindfulness on all of the other movement, action, the four posture and all those things. Whatever activity you do, you can develop awareness and mindfulness. That is good enough. That's why when the body age or decay, there is a limitation to what it can do. But we have to accept the reality, body is still a body, but we can still mitigate it through understanding. So sometimes if we need to really take care of the body, we take care. So you need rest, you rest. And sometimes certain type of supplement or medication, if it's useful, we should actually buy them or have them and find out for ourselves whether it's conducive to improve our physical health or what. Then sometimes it's exercise. Then sometimes it's also how we develop the understanding of this body. Means we don't overuse it, overstress it, or due to lack of rest or sleep, then that condition deteriorates. So all these are the understanding that we can develop. Then when you know yourself very well, you will know how to take care of your body. Then with our family unit in harmony, it will help. It will actually help. Then also with Kalyana Mitras to motivate and encourage, it will also help. Then when there is anything that we need to know, we have friends, we have Kalyana Mitras, we can call upon them to seek their advice, their understanding. And all this can actually bring forth a very good understanding for us to develop the what they call mitigation for all this. Regarding the physical body, I can share with you a few of this true real case. You remember Mrs. Ho? Last time, many years back, she that time was the knee, before the knee surgery or injury. She has a lot of problem with her leg. I remember at one of the retreat many years back, the children actually dare not let her come. Then finally, she managed to persuade them and come with the maid. They insist the maid must follow her. Then because of her faith, the first 3 days, I remember, 3 or 4 days, she that time was together with my wife a lot. My wife helped her, and a few Kayamita also helped her. Then Sri Ami from there also helped her. I think they gave her some ointment to rub and all things. Then she got back ache. Well, she already aged 80 at that time. So, but her faith very strong, and her determination was very strong. And we saw her recovering now. Recovering. At first, she can't even go down the staircase without help or without somebody helping her. Then she find it difficult to even walk and all that. Within that 2-3 days, she recovered now. And she told the maid, you can go back. And the maid really went home. And the children at home were surprised. After the retreat, she recovered so beautifully. And then later on, she can walk, you know, like normal. Then they saw her every time go on spiritual trip, come back, become more healthy. You know. Well, her faith is really strong. That's why she has faith in our Kayamita shape and group. And she loves to join our activity. Then Jennifer also used to help her, bring her along and all this thing. And she is very kind and generous. And she has very strong faith. So because of that faith, actually all these physical things, you can overcome. And that energy can drive you. Then later on, after she had the surgery, it seems now she's very mobile. And her physical health has improved a lot. And she has a lot of joy, a lot of happiness. And she is still very spiritually very strong, very sincere, full of faith, and cultivating with joy and this. So these are examples that you can call upon. That I have seen many people, because of faith, they recover. Their life become different. So for you, Elsie, don't worry.
I think faith will overcome all this. It's not an issue. I still doing what I need to do every day until today. I still continue with my religious routine.
That one very useful.
So recently I started, I have the urge to do the Pulisatwa Wow as well.
That one you
so I'm I'm more ready to it now.
You should actually read through and develop the understanding. Then when you try it out, you will experience a lot of transformation and change. But that Bodhisattva vow is very unique, very, very special. It brings forth causes and conditions for cultivator to really develop the understanding and the condition, the causes and conditions to really progress and move. Well, first, it breaks your karmic obstruction. Because those vows, when you invoke the power of merits, all this thing, then those right view, when you determine to have them, you will continuously develop the first, second turning wisdom. Then you, through the sadha virya, you develop the religious routine, your daily mindfulness come. Then all the other miscellaneous vows, you will be able to fulfill and perfect them. Then after that, without you knowing, when you invoke power of merit for causes and conditions for the great beings to protect you, give you the blessing and the guidance, all this will manifest and you will move. The only requirement is have faith, be sincere, then diligently just cultivate and do and aspire sincerely, then follow the essential dhamma, cultivate noble eightfold path. Keep on straightening your view, the daily mindfulness, and develop the stability of the daily mindfulness, the religious routine. Then all of this will actually create the causes and conditions for your cultivation to progress. And they are very important, very beautiful. That's why it's all shared. And for Kayamita who have the faith and the understanding, they just do it and they progress. And the progress is really, you can ask a few of them, very different. Many of them told me after the Bodhisattva vow, they feel very different. Their life changed. Even my daughter, they experience it, they know. Because after that, you are different. You do things differently. Your right view protect you, your precept protect you, your virtue protect you, then your religious routine, your mind different. From heedless living, you develop heedful living. Then you start to understand many things. Then there is joy. Then there are more and more moments of realizing the true mind, the silent mind. Then when you connect to that nature, that is the most beautiful. At that time, your Bodhisattva way will be very firmly established. But to realize the gateway, not so easy. Be patient, it will come. You have to stabilize your daily mindfulness first. Then after that, silence everything and stay there at the heart hearing. Then it will come. It will come.
Yes.
Sadhu.
So maybe I report a bit of my meditation as well.
Okay, that will be useful. Yes.
Yeah, my meditation is more silence. But I still fall asleep sometimes, you know, maybe because
Never mind. That one is okay because you're tired or sometimes you need to rest. You just treat it as a rest. The only thing you need to do is when you fall asleep, you maintain awareness. Try your very best.
Yes.
If you cannot maintain awareness, you will come to become aware very soon. Because once you are rested enough, the awareness will come back. You will become conscious, then determined to be aware. Then just aware. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Just stabilize the awareness. Let everything like return to its original state before the thought arises, before the thinking arises, before sankhara arises. Realize that. Silence everything. Just aware, aware, aware. Don't do anything. That is the real meditation. Then don't worry about falling asleep. Yeah, initially, I think it's quite normal because for you, you without the maid, you also work more. Like my wife, she also have a lot of worldly duties. So when she go through the worldly duty, she also develops the exercise. Then her body also healthier. Then she got muscle. Her muscle better than mine. She is strong. Then because of that, she still maintain her daily religious routine to meditate. Then she can maintain awareness because she has stabilized her ability to be aware. The only thing is she need more time to actually go into it full time and all those things. But with her understanding is good enough. So that's why I didn't even want to hurry her or what, just let things be. Everything will just fall into place. So for you, the sleepiness, it come. Don't worry, just let it be because the body is still a body. If you need to rest, let it rest. Sometimes I allow it to rest, but I maintain awareness. So in the early years, I remember when I maintain awareness, when I really tired, I just let go of the awareness and I went into the sleep. The unconscious, then I rest. Then when I able to maintain awareness, when my body rests, the awareness is still there. It's just aware, aware, aware. Then later on, I realize my awareness nature becomes so stable, so clear. At any one time, I am with the awareness nature. Then later on, when the mundane mind collapses, I no need to do anything. We have that nature shine for. And throughout the day, I'm in that nature. That's why it becomes a very different type of cultivation. So don't worry about falling into sleep. Continue to silent, relax. You remember Kok Lu?
Yeah.
They were in video. They know how to do now, the silent mind. Then they will continue to relax and maintain awareness. Even now, Jin Hao is slowly getting into it, stabilizing it. So many of them, I think, is developing the ability to stabilize the awareness within. Then, like recently, Annie Feng also started the religious routine and the cultivation. So once they develop all this, the faith will drive them, sadha, virya, then sati will come. Then when sati come with the religious routine and the what they call sadha and virya, they will progress. Then if they take the bodhisattva vow, they will move a lot faster. So for you, it's the same. Don't worry, Elsie.
Yeah.
What happened after that when you go into the sleep?
Because normally when I do my meditation, it's about 9 plus about 10 o'clock. You know, almost end of the day. That's why a lot of time I feel like it's time for me to go to bed now, almost, you know.
When you're on the bed, you can meditate.
No, I do. Normally, I do a formal sitting.
Oh, so, you do formal sitting, yes. But after that, when you come out, you go to lie down when you are going to sleep. You can maintain awareness. You should try that. Well, after sitting, after sitting, the awareness when you lie down is very different. You become very sensitive. The mindfulness is still there. Then you find it very easy to be aware. Then you have to develop the ability to detect the vibration between your whatever contact with the bed.
Yes,
everywhere, every part of the body, including your head, the pillow there, you start to feel initially the vibration, the very gross one, like everywhere moving. Then just allow it to be aware, aware, aware. Then silent, silent, silent. Then it will transform. It will slow down and it become different. Then your awareness become more and more stable, more and more stable. Then after that, you will go to your meditation object. You will go to your heart area. Then it will move, you will move, you will move. Just do it, do it. Let it stabilize.
That I feel the vibration,
The vibration, let it be. Yeah, that is the gross one. But you need to silent. Continue to relax into it, silent, and let it be. Then the vibration will transform, become more and more refined. Then after that, it will move. It will go to your object of meditation. You have an object of meditation. Then if you are used to your heart area, it will go to your heart area. Then it will start to develop the movement. The awareness will be aware of many things. But later on, it will stabilize somewhere. Then you can anchor it there. Then you can develop the experience and understanding of what that awareness is. But that is your true mind. That it can stay somewhere. When it stays somewhere, the awareness didn't move, it's exactly like your silent mind, without thought, without movement. But to realize that, you have to be very patient. You will come to no one, completely no thought, nothing one, just aware there. Then wherever you put your mind, is very sensitive. Means if you can do until that level, your mind has entered sati. And everything you do is in sati when you turn and move during your sleep. That movement is like so clear to you, the awareness of it. Oh, like kayanupassana, so easy to do. Everything is like slow motion. The awareness is there. Then the mind hardly think, it's just aware, aware. That is the training. Listen to this again, it will help you. That's why a lot of people dare not describe their meditation. They will not learn. But if you dare to describe, you will learn. Well, these are the final practice and cultivation that people cannot teach you unless they have done it before. And most meditators, they don't do this type of awareness-based meditation. That's why they cannot share and advise you or teach you. No way. All this, you need somebody who has the awareness developed, stability of it, and understand this awareness-based meditation in a very stable and deep manner. Okay, Elsie?
But right here, sometimes when after I fall asleep, then I go to the bed and lie down and to sleep. I can feel the vibration all over my body.
No problem. Feel it.
Then after that, very fast, I will fall asleep again, you know.
You go into the unconscious. Never mind. Initially, let it happen. Let it rest. Then when you come out of it, you maintain awareness again. Then you relax, especially early morning when you wake up. Maintain awareness again. The moment you maintain awareness, you are with your nature. You are with your true mind. And that is the stability that you need to establish. Don't try to know. No need to do anything. Just aware, aware, aware. It will come. It will stabilize. Then the transformation will happen. The thinking mind, the sankhara activity, the aggregate of mind all will slow down and suddenly stop. and still, everything becomes very quiet. There is no movement of thought. That is the stability you need to establish. And when you realize that, that is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know what that thing is, but that one is very good already. Will give you a lot of understanding. Then when you stabilize that, your daily mindfulness becomes very easy. Where your mind has entered sati. When your mind enters sati, it becomes very sensitive. Wherever you locate this mind, wherever you relax and maintain awareness, it has the sensitivity. That's why it can sense many things. It can have specific phenomenal awareness. Your mind and the phenomenon move as one. That everything that comes within your field of awareness or vision, you will be able to pick it up, pick it up. That is like throughout the day, you hardly think. You're only aware, aware, aware. And it's so beautiful. And your mind is so light, so tranquil, so still. Like Pujang said, buying food also with joy. Where you do it with mindfulness. Going about doing your daily chores, is also very beautiful because you can see the flow, the awareness, the movement, the beauty of that training. And you like don't have to use much energy, where you conserve a lot of your energy. Your breathing all will slow down. Your heart rate will all slow down. Then your thinking will all slow down. Then all of your vibration will slow down. That's how you become more and more sensitive, more and more fine your vibration. And that is the progress. Then you will be more and more mindful. Then you will see many things that you never see before. The subtle mental intention, the stirring of the mind, the arising of Sankara, then just like the book sharing, the moment of consciousness, moment of feeling, moment of perception, moment of thought process, Sankara. All you can see, the content of consciousness, how it goes in, how it stirs, how it reacts, everything becomes like very clear to you. Then you know why the form and mind become like that. That is the real meditation. Without the stability of mindfulness and awareness, you cannot see all this. You cannot have the ability to understand all this. So be patient. If it falls asleep, let it fall asleep. Then maintain awareness. Just maintain awareness. That's it. Whenever you relax, sleep, or silent, maintain awareness. Until it falls asleep, never mind. Then the next morning, the moment you wake up, first thing is aware. Then after that, you want to pay your respect to Triple Jack. You pay your respect. Then you want to meditate straight away, you meditate. Or if not, you can go and wash up, get ready for the day. Then do your religious routine. Then after that, go about daily mindfulness to do what you have to do. So this is the routine of meditation. Means mindful throughout the day, aware throughout the day. Okay, Sadhu.
Yes, Sadhu Bharatio.
Very good, yeah. Anything else?
No, just trying to stabilize my mindfulness.
Ah, yes. To stabilize your mindfulness is not difficult. Just let it be. No need to like force or what. Just relax and maintain awareness. Don't try to know. Don't do anything. Just aware. Away, away. Let that mind slow down. When you don't have any mental intention to do anything, that is a free mind. That mind will return to its original state. That mind is not trying to do anything. That's why it has no craving, no desire, no this, no that. Then no word, nothing. It's just away, away. That's why relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it. Then after that, the mind will enter sati until it becomes quiet, very still. Today, all Kayamita who wants to learn the daily mindfulness or awareness-based meditation must listen to this sharing. But this is very useful, very important. It arises because of that book, Essential Dhamma. And also Po Cheng's request for the Bodhisattva Way and your reporting of the meditation. This is very useful. Okay, so thank you so much for your good sharing, Yasi. And also,
Sadhu Bharatiya.
Yes, Sadhu.
Yes.